Morning. Right, I'm not going to hypnotise you this morning, unlike last week where you had a hypnotic beat all the way through the sermon. We've not got that this morning. But this morning, I'm going to talk a little bit about a sandwich. Yes. This morning, you're going to have a spiritual, mighty prayer snack. Right? Sounds interesting. Karen's good at making sandwiches. She's been told this by her work colleagues, and if ever they want a sandwich at work, Karen's the person to see for a sandwich. But this morning's sandwich is coming from God. Now, it might sound interesting to you, it might not, but in the Gospels, a lot of Jesus' preaching, and his talking, his words to us, and his words to the disciples then, were put in this kind of form. A lot of his writings in the Gospels were done in this method. Now, you might be thinking, what's Stephen on about this morning? Things in the Gospels were purposely wrapped around each other. In sometimes what seems to be a very strange way. And you can read some of the gospel writings and think, well, why has he spoke about this, then completely gone off that subject, spoke about something else, and then seemed to come back to something similar to the first subject and spoke about that. And that is, as I want to put it, sandwich scriptures, where things are put in between two other things. So a bit like your slice of bread, your nice filling, and then another slice of bread. And there is a reason for that, and hopefully with this particular gospel message that I'm going to bring to you this morning, that reason might come out a little bit, and you might understand a little bit more about what Jesus was trying to say at this point. And maybe, because I think all scripture is relevant to us today, is saying to us right now. Right. Now, yeah, I'll mention this, I think. Will I mention it now or later? Right, I'll give you the scripture now. What I'm going to be talking about is a part of the Gospel of Mark, and I'll be reading from verse 12 of chapter 11. It says there, the next day, as they were leaving Bethany, Jesus was hungry. Now this is where this might be where the sandwich comes in, but yeah. Jesus was hungry, seeing in the distance a fig tree in leaf. He went to find out if it had any fruit. When he reached it, he found nothing but leaves, because it was not the season for figs. Then he said to the tree, "May no one ever eat fruit from you again." And his disciples heard him say it. On reaching Jerusalem, Jesus entered the temple courts and began driving out those who were buying and selling there. He overturned tables of money, of the money changers, and the benches of those selling doves. and would not allow anyone to carry merchandise through the temple courts. And as he taught them, he said, "Is this not written, 'My house will be called a house of prayer for all nations,' but you have made it a den of robbers?" The chief priests and teachers of the law heard this and began looking for a way to kill him, for they feared him because the whole crowds were amazed at his teaching. When evening came, Jesus and his disciples went out of the city. In the morning, as they went along, they saw the fig tree withered from the roots. Peter remembered and said, "Jesus, Rabbi, look, the fig tree you cursed has withered." We can see three distinct things in this short scripture. Initially, we can see the fig tree, seemingly full of life. We then move on to the second part, the temple emptied by our Lord. And then to complete the sandwich, we then see the fig tree now appearing dead. So why write like this? Why is this part of the gospel message brought to us like this? What can we learn from it? And is this story relevant to you and me now? I'm not a big eater. You might think otherwise, but I'm not a big eater. I don't particularly have breakfast when I get up. Maybe at the weekend or on holiday, I may have breakfast when we get up. But normally breakfast time for me is quite a few hours later, after I've arisen, after I've been at work a few hours. And by that time, I'm quite ready. I'm quite ready for a nice snack, as I would call it. So when Jesus is obviously set off from somewhere, he must have arisen earlier, set off from somewhere and was approaching the temple. He may have been on this journey for a period of time. And maybe like me, he was thinking, "Well, I'm quite peckish now. Oh, look in the distance there. There's a fig tree. Yeah. That's strange. It appears to be ripe and ready." What was strange about the fig tree was at this time of year, when this particular part of Jesus' message, the fig tree shouldn't have been ready. It was the wrong time of year. When fig trees are ready, normally they're full of leaves, and then they're ready for the harvest of the fruit. So So as he was approaching, Jesus was thinking, maybe I'm in for a good snack here. But although the tree had foliage, the tree appeared ripe to harvest, there was no fruit. And because of this, Jesus cursed that tree. Now you may think, well, that seems a bit harsh. It was a tree. The weather might have brought it on a bit quicker than what normally would have been time for the tree to come into fruition. And Jesus cursed it and told it, no more are you to bear fruit. So you may think, well, that's, like I say, a bit harsh, a bit strange way to start this scripture off with. And what's it got to do with the next part? This is your filling. So was it a foresight as what he was going to come into at the temple? We arrive at the filling. He comes to the temple. Now again, maybe this wasn't exactly what Jesus was expecting. The temple was overrun with traders, buying, selling, money changers. And I think at this point, Jesus, to put it mildly, was probably a bit cheesed off. No breakfast by the fig tree, and what was supposed to be the gateway to God is a marketplace. A place of trading, a place of exchanging, a place of money, as described in the scripture, a den of robbers. Jesus says, my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations. Can you imagine the scene at the temple? Tables flying. Birds which were due to be sold as an offering suddenly flying away because the cages have been disturbed. The money changers trying to grab all the money back together as things were being thrown here and there. And Jesus ministering the words, my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations. This turmoil, we can imagine from how the scriptures written must have gone on for some time. Because the next thing we read is that evening and day comes. And they are leaving. And as they leave, what do they see? We see the next slice of bread, the fig tree is back in the picture. But this time, instead of being at the point of where it was seemingly ready to be harvested, it is now withered. Not only withered. Now, normally if you see a plant, I don't know a lot about plants, but I know if you don't look after a plant, it withers. And normally it starts to wither from the foliage, the leaves, and then it will reduce down to the root. But we see in this scripture that the plant has now withered from the roots. Its very source. Its very source of life upwards. At the end of this scripture there is some more verses. And I purposely left these out for now. At the end, Jesus puts this spiritual snack together to enable each of us to understand why the fig tree was there. To understand why the filling needed to be changed. And to understand the end of the fig tree. Have faith in God, it says in verse 22 of this scripture. Have faith in God, Jesus answered. Truly, I tell you, if anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in their heart, but believes that what they say will happen, it will be done for them. Therefore, I tell you, whenever you ask for it, for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them, so that your Father in heaven may forgive your sins. This shows us the power of prayer. In removing the bad things. In restoring the good things. And in delivering satisfaction. Now you might think, well, yeah, this seems a nice enough story. Yeah, I can see a little bit more now about how Jesus wanted to show that there is power in prayer. I can see a little bit more now about how things around us can take us away from God. Just like in the temple, things around the temple was taken away, that meeting with God. They were distracting and taking over the whole purpose of the temple. And how things might look appealing from the outside, yet There's nothing there that can give you that sustenance, because it's been overrun. It's been taken over. This might apply in your life, in your situation. The satisfaction that you yearn seems to be distant, unobtainable. The place you want is there, but there's too many other things going on around that you just can't seem to quite get there. You just can't seem to quite obtain what you're searching for. The answer is clear. The answer is clear in this sandwich, this spiritual snack. Talk to God. Cleanse yourself of the distractions around. Seek the true meaning, the true purpose. And suddenly, all things in God become possible. All things in His name can become reality. My house will be called a house of prayer. A house of prayer for all nations. A place in where you can commune with God, where you can have that one-to-one relationship, where the distractions will grow dim. And you can truly walk the walk and digest what God has got in store for you. Amen.